I think it's important to know where the game is being played and find ways to get into the game. I fell into the media industry in New York City. It has obviously gone through a lot of disruption, but man, was it a fun place to be? When you start a new job, you're sort of inundated with information, you're drinking from the fire hose.
Oh my goodness. Chris, welcome to Boss.
Thanks so much, Allie. It's wonderful to be here.
We've known each other forever, which we were talking about a little bit before I hit record, and we're finally making it happen today. I'm so thrilled. For anyone who has not seen Boss yet, what are you waiting for? Like, get on it. Boss by Allie Levitan is my amazing executive interview series on LinkedIn that's now a top-rated podcast. I interview my incredible network to help others learn, network, and pay it forward. Who is Chris?
Who is Chris? Can you please be my therapist? That would be great. I love a moment of self-reflection. Chris is a career chameleon who's done a lot of code switching in his past decade. I've gone from legacy media to growth tech. I've gone from B2B marketing to B2C marketing. Many years prior to this, I moved from Honolulu to New York City. So my life has been this kind of interesting study, going from one extreme to the other in some cases. And figuring out ways to navigate those new circumstances as quickly and effectively as possible.
I love that. How did you get to where you are now? You mentioned that your career has not been a straight line. Mine has not been either.
I think to the point about careers not being a straight line, let's first say that that's a good thing, not a bad thing. I think there are folks out there who might look at individuals like us, Ali, who have had pivots and turns in their career and think, do these folks know what they want? First question, are they just adapting to the circumstances as a career mercenary and trying to go where the opportunity is? First of all, I think it's okay to be opportunistic. I think it's important to know where the game is being played and find ways to get into the game. But I also think that being able to be flexible and agile in your career is more important than ever before. It's a virtue, not a vice.
Yeah, if you do exactly the same thing in exactly the same industry, in exactly the same role and title, at least for me, that's boring.
It's absolutely boring. Career journeys these days reward folks who are a little bit impatient. I think the best employees are those that have an intrinsic curiosity in them and they want to learn new things. They want to seek out new networks. They want to like learn and grow, as you said. But I started out in legacy media, graduated from school in Connecticut, came into the city, started my job the day after graduation at Town and Country magazine as an editorial assistant doing art and design coverage. This is as far away as you could possibly be from some of my later roles in enterprise B2B marketing. But this is one of those classic cases of having started my career in an industry that was influenced by my parents and their sort of background, influenced in part by my friend networks in college, and trying to figure out what the hell I wanted to do in life. But I fell into the media industry in New York City. It's a great industry to be in. It has obviously gone through a lot of disruption and change over the past 2 decades. But man, was it a fun place to be? And I still really value the connections I made there.
Yeah, I mean, 12 years at Viacom sitting right here, right? And I think we met when I was at General Assembly and I was pitching you when you were in B2B marketing
It
at
was the Wall Street Journal. I actually remember this well. I started out in lifestyle media on the editorial side. And then, 2 or 3 years into my time in editorial, I decided to move to the marketing side of the business, to the advertising side of the business. And a friend had given me some career advice early on when I said how stressed out I was by dealing with all of the PR pitches that one gets as an editorial team member. I always felt like I was having to repay favors and sort of beg, borrow, and steal for the experiences or the freebies that I wanted and needed as a poorly paid 22-year-old. And someone said to me, hey, like in life, you want to be the person who can afford to buy the things you want and have the experiences you want and not have to ask for permission or sort of access to them through others. And that pushed me towards the business side of the media industry in a world where, frankly, the career journeys were a lot stronger and better defined than on the editorial side of the business. I was at The Atlantic and then The Wall Street Journal and actually stayed at The Journal for about 7 years across a whole range of different marketing roles.
Yeah. I mean, I relate to that too, right? Having been on the creative side, I like being tied to revenue or near the revenue driving side of the business too. So that's been kind of that second half of my career. And where are you now? What are you doing now?
Yeah, so after media, I moved into tech and I've been at Shopify for the last 3 years. I started out in B2B brand marketing, so familiar to the work that I was doing at other companies previously, but with a new flavor, founder-led growth tech, a very different kind of working environment than I was used to. And just last week, I switched jobs and I'm now a head of marketing for Shop, which is a fantastic consumer shopping platform from Shopify.
Oh, wow. So you
Full
really
breath.
did go B2B to B2C.
I mean, the jury's still out on whether I'll be able to do this well. It's only been a few weeks, but I'm really excited by the new challenge. It's really a fun brand to work for.
My point of view, especially on LinkedIn right now, knowing this will air there, is that so many of the people that you're speaking to, the ICP, that executive, is like a B2B, but it's also B2C because people buy from people, right? And so there's not that much of a distinct difference as much anymore within B2B and B2C. That's just like my working hypothesis. We'll see, but I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I totally agree. I think it's especially true of companies like General Assembly and Shopify that have these prosumer audiences where, you're marketing a software product or, a learning product in a GA's case to both individuals as well as, organizations. But the go-to-market feels very consumer-like in its nature. You're not marketing to enormous enterprises solely. You have a much broader kind of customer base that you need to appeal to. I think the marketing tactics across the two are converging, clearly. It's interesting, even on LinkedIn, and to your point, how creator marketing is now, a really big focal point, both of the platform and for the brands that are on it. This idea that there's a hard wall between B2B and B2C, I think is totally false.
I love that.
I had a boss at the Wall Street Journal who was a salesperson turned marketer, and I think that was a very helpful thing because she was passionate about the value of network and the value of soft power, the value of sort of influence and diplomacy. And she really helped our marketing team grow through that. And one thing that she did herself and then sort of inspired in her employees was the idea of 100 one-on-ones in the first 100 days of a new job, proactively, and setting goals for yourself on that front. When you start a new job, you're sort of inundated with information, you're drinking from the fire hose. It's easy to forget that building human relationships, building trust and rapport with your peers, as well as some of those further flung contacts that may become important stakeholders down the line, that all that work is essential. And then something that I find really useful too is I always ask the person I'm meeting with to refer me onward to someone that they think would be valuable for me to meet. So you're literally expanding your network, step by step, day by day. And again, you never know when those contacts will become valuable connections or stakeholders for your work.
I really love that.
The Boss Podcast is a perfect example of the power of network, right? So I think you're already like living this in your day-to-day really, really well. There was an important moment when I was pivoting from media to tech that I still remember. And it was when I had a lot of self-doubt around whether my past marketing skills in media could adapt and be marketable to new industries. And there was a moment of realization, I think, where I realized that your on-paper job responsibilities, as they're defined by your organization, are much less important than the underlying core skills that you're building in the role. And it's an obvious point, I think, but I think a lot of folks who suffer from imposter syndrome or worry about their ability to adapt and sort of be agile in this market forget that truth. I came up through the world of integrated marketing and media. I mean, this is the RFP factory of an advertising business. It's stressful, it's chaotic, it's very reactive. You're beholden to both sales and sort of the end client in a lot of ways as a marketer. And I've had a lot of former colleagues who have wondered whether they could make the journey onward to client-side marketing, either in brand marketing or product marketing, and reminding them that even if the job on paper is not an integrated marketing job or doesn't sit within a sales org, that they still have the skills to do the job because they have mastered creative strategy during time crunches. They've mastered internal sales and negotiation. They've mastered the pitching process itself, even if they're not the ones delivering the pitch directly to the clients. They've thought about how to position the brand to the client and its products, how to overcome objections. All of these are valuable core skills that can translate super easily to other settings. So I think folks need to really trust in their core skills and not just look at the job title.
I 100% agree with that. I will note, having been in the job market, as much as that is true and it's so important, and I was talking to the CMO of EOS about this the other day, recruiters right now or talent leaders are still looking for an exact match in terms of title to title, industry to industry. And that's not going to stay the same forever, but it does make it all the more important to get to the hiring manager or to get a little bit deeper into the organization. And it's not as easy to kind of make that switch, I would say, today as it has been in the past. Not that you shouldn't, you still should, but that's just something that I've been thinking about.
I think it's very true.
What lights you up?
I love building things with creative people. I love being surrounded by people who have weird personal interests, who have strong points of view creatively, and who are willing to, I guess, get their hands dirty and go through the kind of chaotic act of brainstorming to get to an interesting idea.
What's one thing you'll commit to do in the rest of 2025?
I'm dying to finish the novel that I started as a personal side project, and we'll see what happens there.
Is that a breaking here? Is that a first heard on Boss?
I think it is.
How can I help you pay it forward on something?
Introduce me to your friend who wrote the book. What you're doing here is amazing. The Boss Podcast is a great platform for sharing like honest advice, and I think we all need that, especially in a world where in-person connections haven't always been as easy to come by post-COVID as before.
I'm hot on in person and in real life and coffees and city and going to Possible and all those things for 2025. And finally, anything else that you want to say or share with me to close out this amazing LinkedIn and now podcast interview?
It's such a pleasure to be here, Ali. This is a great conversation, and I'm so glad to be able to reconnect with you.
I love it. Everyone should be watching, commenting, sharing, liking. Please help me with the algorithm. Like it, comment. I want to see you here. And until next time, thanks, Chris. Bye.